Greetings and welcome to our online service for Sunday, February 14th. My name is Nick. I'm one of the pastors here at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. With it being St. Valentine's Day today and Family Day tomorrow, a lot of our thoughts, our attention are on relationships these days. And I think that a lot of us would agree that this time that we continue to find ourselves in has had pretty significant impact on our relationships. In some ways, there's been a real strain. These are difficult circumstances, and especially with this time of prolonged distance and isolation, there's been an effect on friendships and family relationships as well. In other ways, though, I continue to hear that this time has brought some really surprising and unexpected gifts and growth to relationships as well. Many of us are spending more time than we ever had with immediate family, and that's been a really good thing. Many of us are talking more than we ever have with extended family. That's been a good thing as well. And for a lot of us, we've really had to deepen our commitments, our relational commitments, in order to work together to get through this, to make it work and to make it through. And so as we reflect these days, on these days, Valentine's Day and Family Day, I'd invite you as well to reflect on the theme of humility, which we'll be talking about today. Humility in our relationships with one another and with God. Today we'll be concluding our sermon series on Micah 6 verse 8, in which we're invited to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Since Taya, our youth work, will be concluding it, looking at the third of those requirements to walk humbly. And just a few announcements before we get any further with that. With the stay-at-home order set to lift in the next few days, we're awaiting what that might mean, what comes next, what coding our region might shift into, and what that might mean for church activities. I would note that our church leadership is meeting on Wednesday, and we'll give consideration to that question and provide updates following that. In the meantime, certainly hearing a sense of relief, especially as classrooms reopen and some other things as well, but continue to urge precaution as we're hearing that we're definitely not out of the woods yet. When they meet on Wednesday, be aware that Church Council will also be reviewing responses to the AGM materials that have been sent out. If for whatever reason you haven't received those yet, I would invite you to be in contact with the church office. Probably too late for mailings at this point, but if it could go by email in time for the responses to be submitted, I think that should still be an option. In addition to that and the holidays today and tomorrow, you'll likely be aware that Ash Wednesday lies on the calendar this week. And this, of course, marks the start of Lent, the 40 days leading up to Easter Sunday. And with the start of this season in the church year, we're starting a new sermon series as well, which we're calling Practicing What We Preach. And for the series, we'll be exploring and experimenting with different spiritual practices. We'll be starting that next week with the spiritual practice of fasting. And for this series, we're going to be doing something a little bit different, in that we'll not just be talking about these spiritual practices, not just thinking about them, but inviting you to participate along as we do as well. So for next Sunday, February 21st, we're going to be inviting you to participate in a short partial day fast. And so if you're able, we'd invite you to skip breakfast and lunch for that Sunday, making sure you have something to drink still, but skipping those two meals as a short fast. There might be medical or other reasons why that's not appropriate for you, but really want to encourage everyone who can to do this as we start Lent. That Sunday, with it being the beginning of Lent, we're also planning to invite participation in communion from home. And the way we're going to do that is inviting you to partake in communion as a way of ending that fast or breaking it. And so anticipating that, invite you to prepare elements of bread and cup and have those ready, and also be in prayerful reflection in the days leading up to that. As we head into the rest of the time, I want to thank in advance everyone who contributed to today's service and invite you now to hear our call to worship.
Psalm 25, verses 4 to 10. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right, and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant.
Thank you. Let us pray. Dear God, today we choose to walk humbly with you. We choose to live by your Holy Spirit and follow your lead. Help us to hear you clearly. We do not want to walk with pride and self-worth. We want to walk with you. We ask you, Lord, to please renew our hearts and minds in you. We pray that you would change us more into your image. Fill us with the reflections of your character. Help us to extend mercy, to show love, to walk humbly, to act in ways that are just and right in this world. Help us to hear your voice, to see things as you see them, and to truly reflect the character of Christ in our daily lives. Today, we choose to walk humbly with you. Instead of looking out for ourselves first or making our own lives seem more important than others, may we tune out the many voices around us and strive to tune into yours first. May your Spirit breathe refreshment, purpose, and power in us, through us, today. We recognize our great need for you, Lord, and we rely fully on your strength and help. We pray for those who are sick or recovering, that your touch would bring them healing and strength. And thank you for the courage you've given to all who care for the sick. We pray for those with financial needs, for those with emotional needs, some who need healing of relationships, and some who are grieving the loss of a loved one. Be with them, comfort them with your presence, and assure them of your love. Thank you that our congregation continues to function even when we can't meet in person at this time. We bring every heart's prayer before you today. There are many paths we can choose to walk in this life, but to be known as one who lives with love, mercy, humility, and walks closely with you is truly the most powerful way we can live. Please help us to choose wisely. In Jesus' name, amen.
What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Justice, kindness, walk humbly with your God. To seek justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Justice, kindness, walk humbly with your God. To seek justice and love kindness, and walk.
Good morning. The Bible reading this morning is taken from two passages, Micah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Beginning with Micah chapter 6, verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you.
Good morning. Please join me in an opening prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this morning and for your word. We ask that you bless our time this morning, and may you open our hearts and minds to that which you'd have us hear. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. I'm sure many of you watching this morning are parents, maybe even grandparents, aunts or uncles, honorary aunts or uncles, Regardless, at some point in your lives, you've more than likely spent time around babies. Babies that became toddlers. Children that learned to walk. We know it's a very endearing, entertaining thing to watch a child take their first steps and then watch them practice over and over again. Though I'm not a parent, I'm an aunt to three incredibly special girls, two of which I gained when I married my husband, and my oldest niece I've watched grow up from a newborn to the very cool 10-year-old that she is now. And when I think back on how enjoyable it was to watch her grow up, I can vividly remember her learning to walk. Starting out with a walking toy, then walking along the furniture, as children do when they're learning to figure out what it means to take those first steps themselves. We know that feeling in your back when you've leaned to the side for a while, so your hand is at their height so they can wrap their one or two, or wrap their whole hand around your one or two fingers. And then finally, they take those first steps on their own, and it's the greatest achievement that brings all the cheering and picture taking and video recording. It is such a milestone. A memory I have with my niece actually takes place in my parents' backyard. She was probably around a year and a half old, and it was right before my parents put in their new lawn, and it was a mess. It was just random tufts of grass. It was very dry, and you wouldn't want to walk on it without shoes for too long. And I remember my niece being a new walker, following my parents' dog, Moose, around the backyard. Or she was trying to. With such an uneven terrain, about every two steps, down she went. You'd look over and all of a sudden, there she was sitting down on the grass. And Moose would sense there was a bit of a holdup, and he would wait, and then she would find her footing again and off they'd go. But then it was another two steps or three and down she went again. It went on for ages. As the onlooker, it was so entertaining watching her bounce to the ground and then bounce right back up again. But an interesting part of it all was that it took her quite a while to show any frustration. If it had been me, I think I would have been frustrated a little bit earlier. But she was stubborn. She wanted to do it herself. She was determined to not need anyone's help this time. But alas, after what felt like 100 bumps to the ground, she eventually began to grow weary of the up and down and up and down and looked over with a quivering lip at first. She tried so hard to be able to go it alone and show that she didn't need any help. But eventually she realized how much easier and ultimately less painful it would be if she reached out for some support. And once we held hands and she was up again, her game of follow the leader became fun once more. Sure, it wasn't entirely smooth sailing. There were still a few trips here and there, but she enjoyed it all the more having someone to hold on to. Here we are now at our third and final week of our sermon series, Where Do I Even Begin? We spent the last few weeks studying and reflecting on the book of Micah, but specifically chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. Where do I even begin? A phrase I've certainly used a time or two. I'm sure we all have. Maybe looking at a 1,000-piece puzzle. Maybe a 500-piece puzzle, depending on the picture. Standing in front of a closet that's organization has been put on the back burner, preparing to write a sermon, it can be daunting to try and figure out where to start. Our world is becoming increasingly complex. Day after day, week after week, month after month, another layer of messiness seems to be added. And we feel this desire to fix it, or at least try to fix it. Lend a helping hand at making a difference. It can feel hopeless looking at the state of our community, our world, even on a smaller scale, at our own relationships maybe, and wondering, Where do I even begin? There's an age-old question that people have been asking for probably most of all time. What is God's will? What does God require of me or of us? These past weeks, we've looked at what Micah tells us the answer to that question is. God requires us to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. From the beginning of chapter 6, as we've heard, we find ourselves in what feels like a courtroom. The author outlines the experience of a God who has remained faithful to an unfaithful people. He's disappointed in them. God is speaking to them. He's pleading with them, like a parent to a child who is almost oblivious to their parent's love. What have I done to you? He asks. In what have I wearied you? Answer me. Israel was uncaring and conceited. Being brought out of slavery, having been given a home, it seems God's generosity has been forgotten by them. God calls them out of their wrongdoings, on their disregard for the Lord. And after they hear God's reprimand, the people, as they typically do, completely miss the point. And it sounds as though they were actually rather brazen. You want more of us? They ask. What more could you possibly want from us? Do you want more sacrifices? How about 1,000 rams? Or 1,000 rivers of oil? Would you like my firstborn for all my sins? How much more devout can we be? And we end up at our verse this morning. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? Did they genuinely believe the Lord would be satisfied with those kinds of exorbitant offerings? The solution to Israel's problem of sinning against God wasn't an increase in sacrifices or more personal sacrifices. The answer was something much more deep-seated than that. What Israel needed was a change of heart. They're a religious people, but what they consider religion to mean is not near God's desire. They think that religion consists of worshiping quote-unquote correctly. But the point was not that God needs more religious practices on their part or more sacrifices, because none of these symbols please God when the connection to their meaning isn't there. He doesn't want them, or us, to just be talking the talk. We need to be walking the walk. God wants from us more than empty words or performative practices and the checking off of boxes. What God requires of Israel and of us is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with him. So, we know that we're required to walk humbly, but what exactly does that mean? Or what does that look like for us? Well, let's dig a little deeper into these words. We know what it means to walk, and the word here used for walk could also be translated as to go. And the word used here for humbly could also be lowly or modest, or to show humility. So, to go with God, showing humility. These are words I know, but sometimes I have trouble giving definition to. We all know these words. We know what they mean, but to explain them or to act on them ourselves is sometimes tricky or a little bit confusing. I can think of what humility or being humble is not. I know it is not being boastful, not being conceited or pretentious or showy. I think being truly humble is to do that which God has planned for us. Instead of doing our own thing and going our own way with a heart full of pride. Walking humbly with God looks like relying on God for his provision for us and being open to his mission for us, rather than relying on our own earthly human abilities. Perhaps whether or not we have it all perfect is not as important to the Lord as whether or not we extend mercy, kindness, and love to others. This message from Micah has that point, and it is still relevant and important today. No amount of religious acts can outweigh the absence of love for all. Rather than feeling satisfaction in what we bring to the table in our relationship with God, we recognize with a humble heart that there isn't any number of sacrifices that amount to having a heart set on justice and mercy. Walking humbly with God is truly a crucial piece of the puzzle and makes these first two directions, doing justice and loving mercy, come more naturally. When we walk humbly with our Creator, we come to learn what it means to do justice and to love kindness. God cannot lead us to indifference with a hardened heart. It's not possible, because he has neither of those qualities. Learning to walk with God makes me think back to my niece in the backyard. Our lives aren't perfectly mowed turf that's bright green 365 days a year. It's uneven terrain. There's tufts of struggle and strife peppered throughout all our days. And when we aren't holding tight to a trusting hand for balance, we can easily slip up and trip on them. Now, my niece, she wasn't holding anyone's hand in that backyard for most of the time. She was following a leader. And while that worked for her for the most part in this scenario, eventually she grew weary and looked for that hand to lean on and grab onto for support. Such is our walking with God. Sure, I guess we could follow God, toddling behind, not holding on to anything. But when we don't have a firm grasp on his hand, it makes those falls harder and more frequent and more hurtful. It brings me to this quote by Max Lucado. When a father leads his four-year-old son down a crowded street, he takes him by the hand and says, "Hold on to me." He doesn't say, "Memorize the map," or "Take your chances dodging traffic," or "Let's see if you can find your way home." The good father gives the child one responsibility: hold on to my hand. And God does the same with us. God doesn't expect us to figure this out for ourselves. We're not left hanging all alone, trying to muddle our way through this relationship with him. He takes us by the hand, much like we do with a child learning to take their first steps. And he walks with us. He walks with us. We walk humbly because we are in awe of the presence of our Heavenly Father and Creator. But we get to walk humbly with our Heavenly Father and Creator because of his eternal and expansive love for us. As human beings, God's creation, we are privileged with this unique experience where we are in complete awe of God's wonder and majesty while being connected to him in relationship through the grace and love of Christ. What a gift. The longer we cling to his hand, the more we will grow to understand him and walk in step with him. Unlike a 1,000-piece puzzle, walking with God is a lifelong spiritual journey. Remember, this isn't a checking off of boxes when deeds are done to meet the criteria. Walking humbly with God is a journey throughout life, learning to listen for and become aware of the movement of the Holy Spirit, found at the heart of our world. Walking humbly with God gives us a mindset of adoration and devotion, with a focus on sincerity and truth. Walking humbly with God removes us from our self-focused, self-centered view of the world and moves us into outward-focused, life-giving relationship with God and with humanity. Living in our messy world brings about worry and weariness and fear, feelings we've all experienced over this last year. As we are told in our second reading from 1 Peter 5, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Not only are we reminded that God has a mighty hand and the importance of humbling ourselves before God, but we are also invited to cast our anxiety on him because he cares for us. He cares for us so much. He wants to walk with us through life, hand in hand. And because he loves and cares for each and every one of us, as we journey with him, we are to, at the same time, desire justice and mercy for all. For God longs for justice that cares for the vulnerable and oppressed, for anyone who has ever been treated as less than a child of God. He longs for a love extended to creation, human and non-human life alike, that is as steadfast as his love for us. He longs for us to choose to walk in step with him, with a humble and lowly heart, listening for his leading wherever it may go. In a complex world that is broken and weary, what should we as Christians do? We should do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. As we go from here, may we listen for the leading of God and choose to grab hold of his hand, to walk humbly together through the complexities and triumphs of life, remembering to stand for justice and extend mercy to those around us. Amen.
I surrender.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and a special thank you to all those who took part in our service on screen and behind the scenes. Thank you for your efforts and dedication to our service. A reminder that this Wednesday, February 17th, begins the season of Lent, and throughout this season we'll be exploring several different spiritual practices. We will begin this series on February 21st with a spiritual practice of fasting. If you are able and willing to do so, we invite you to fast from breakfast and lunch that day and end your fast in taking communion at home, which will be included in our service next Sunday. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and our time shared together, learning and growing in you. Help us to remember to take hold of your hand as we walk humbly with you, learning what it means to do justice and love mercy in our own lives, throughout our community, and in the world. Amen. May you go with these words of blessing from 2 Thessalonians. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.